Today's guest is Barbara Stewart. Barbara was in Tel Aviv to give a talk, which she does traveling all over the world. Barbara specializes in women and money and financial acumen, and she tells us all about her story and how she got to where she is today. So I hope the talk is enjoyable to you as much as it was to me, and I hope that the background noise does not drive you crazy. So here's my conversation with Barbara Stewart. Barbara Stewart, thank you so much for being on the Strong Women's Club podcast. It's really a pleasure to be able to meet you face to face. It's exciting for me.
Thank you. I'm just thrilled to meet you too, with the background of beautiful Tel Aviv.
Of the Mediterranean
beach.
Ocean.
Doesn't get any better than this.
It's true. It's really a nice, beautiful day. I'm glad it worked out, because this morning was actually kind of stormy. So you're speaking at a conference. Tell me what you're talking about.
I spoke yesterday for the Society of Israeli Finance Professionals, which has, in the last month, become an official CFA society in Israel, which is Chartered Financial Analyst, which is the highest credential you can have as a finance professional internationally. So it's a big deal. They have societies around the world, and the global head office is the CFA Institute. And so one of the things that I've been doing as a result of my research on women and money is I've been traveling around speaking to various CFA societies, because as with most professions, whether it's tech or finance, there's a smaller proportion of women than we would like. So we're trying to encourage more women to go into the financial profession.
I have two questions about that. One is why you actually got focused on women's issues in finance, and the other is how you yourself started. So let's start with that, because that comes first. So how did you get into the field?
Of finance. It's a long time ago now. I've been in the investment industry almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years this August, which I can't believe. And how did I start? It was, you know, like most things, kind of by chance. I wanted to be a teacher when I was growing up. And at the time, there happened to be a big teacher strike going on. So it was kind of like a red flag. And my father said to me, I don't think you should go into teaching right now, because you probably won't be able to make any money for quite a long time. And I guess I'd always liked money for some reason. Most of my friends didn't seem to work as hard as I did in high school. I always had two or three jobs at a time, and I was always interested in working. And frankly, I don't even think it was so much about the money. I just liked working. Mm. I've always been a hard worker, and I really like it. And then the money would follow, and then I'd be able to go on nice vacations and do things with it. So I always liked that feeling of freedom and independence to do whatever I wanted. So I kind of equated that with working hard and money from an early age. And then one of my first jobs was with Xerox in sales, and I worked my way up in that company, kind of moving geographic territories. The more you sold, the better the territory they would give you, so you had to really earn your way up. And eventually, after a couple of years, I ended up with one of the best territories, which was Bay Street in Toronto, and selling into foreign banks and brokerage firms in the 1980s, who were in their heyday, of course. And walking around trading rooms, I found myself really attracted to the environment. And so it was a little bit random. I was selling to these people photocopiers and office equipment, but the energy of the room, you know, there'd be 300, usually men, screaming and yelling, and it just seemed so vibrant to me and like nothing I'd ever heard of. In high school, we didn't learn about what goes on in a trading room. I'd honestly never heard of it. And so for some reason, I was just really attracted to that energy, and I started trying to find a way of getting a job in a trading room.
Hmm. Without like formal education in the field. At that time.
Exactly. I had done, when I talked about the teaching thing, I didn't go into teaching, so I just did a general business degree. But that really wouldn't have qualified me to work in a trading room.
Right.
So it was my ability to sell, which I learned at Xerox. I sort of sold my way into a job in the trading room that I was not qualified to do. And there was a lot of competition for that job.
I'm sure. But sales is so vital for really everything. I mean, you're selling yourself in this situation, but it's really communications.
Exactly. And I think if, you know, now I look back, I was so fortunate to have that type of formal sales training to really understand how to listen to people rather than just, you know, talking.
Right.
And being strategic about it. So it helped me so much to really get the job that I wanted.
So then you became a trader?
I became what was in sales on the institutional sales desk. So we would do, I was on the foreign currency side, and so we would do foreign currency strategies, options, and forward contracts for large institutions, and we would trade on their behalf to get their trades done. So,
then you had, I assume you were in that position for a while.
Yeah, I stayed in the trading room almost 5 years.
Oh, for a long time.
Yeah.
And then how did that, you know, progress into what you're doing now?
Well, I started to get really even more interested. I loved the job because it was learning about how markets work and how all of the markets interact. So bond market, stock market, currency market, all in one big room. And I wanted to understand more about the kind of behind the scenes and more theoretical side of it. So I was sort of stimulated intellectually because the practical side was every single day yelling and screaming.
Right.
But then I wanted to know why all these markets work this way. So I decided to start studying, and that's why I decided to do the CFA designation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a heck of a lot of work because it's 3 years and it's weekends and it's, you know, it's a significant thing, especially if you're already working full time. So a lot of lack of sleep, but it really paid off because I had a solid understanding of how financial markets work.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I just decided I don't want to work in a trading room for the rest of my life because it's sort of a young person's game and you have to get up awfully early. And I decided maybe I would become a portfolio manager on the private client wealth management side.
Right.
And that's what the CFA qualifies you to do. So you can actually be a fund manager.
So now you're a private wealth manager, also, right? And alongside of that, you do you teach, basically.
Started to become that, yeah.
And you're traveling all over the world from what it looks like. Well, I mean, we're sitting in Tel Aviv, and you just told me about how you just came from Stockholm, I think, right?
Yes, I'm going to Istanbul tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Wow, that's... you know, your lifestyle, your work and your lifestyle become one and the same, kind of.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that happened because I didn't plan it
that
way. It really wasn't planned that way. I literally followed my heart when it came to doing this research about women and money. And similar to what you were talking to me about earlier in the elevator, how you just decided women were interesting and you would start interviewing them. That's what happened to me in that I got interested in the topic of women and money in the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, because it was no fun doing my job at that time because everybody was depressed and nobody liked losing money. So I started reading a lot about women and money, and almost everything I read was not very happy. So a lot of bad messages out there about women and, you know, whether they were not confident or they didn't take risks or things like this.
Right. So let's talk about women on a more personal basis and not a business basis, because I think most of my listeners they're in all different, you know, they're in their homes or they're small businesses. They don't qualify for private wealth management. So, in the same way you talk about private wealth and money management, this is what we need to do for ourselves and our small businesses. And women are afraid to talk about money. Even if just with their husbands, they're afraid to talk about money oftentimes. Or it's more comfortable for them to let the main breadwinner oftentimes take care of everything having to do with money, and then they're stuck. Sometimes bad things happen. He could pass away, or people split up, and they find themselves in a situation where they don't even know where their own money is. You don't think that's so, or?
Well, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I understand that there are a lot of people in that situation, of course. The research that I've done is very specifically on what I call smart women. And it's not to say that those other women aren't smart. There's a whole bunch of different women. But the ones that I've been interviewing are the ones that have accomplished a lot and are financially independent. And the reason I've chosen that sort of segment is because I wanted to get more positive messages out there that could inspire all women, such as the ones that you're
exactly.
talking about
so
that are having trouble.
So this is the same exact thing for looking from it at a different angle. So let's say what defines these women? What do you think are their like commonalities?
Well, I've done now, this is the sixth year of this research, and now I've interviewed over 350 smart women around the world. So some young, some old, all in different industries, like you say. So they're not necessarily wealthy per se, but they've all sort of done something with their lives. And I think if there was one common thread in my research, it would be that the thing that permeates everything is financial independence. So that feeling of freedom that you get when you've worked hard, you've made your money, and now you can do whatever you want with it. And it's this complete freedom.
Right. You're in control of your own.
You're in
of yourself.
Control. And I think that, you know, what I've learned is that one of the reasons why so many women perhaps have trouble or don't want to talk about it or anything like that is because the language, the financial language, is quite intimidating. Sort of like medical language, you know?
That's true. The jargon.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm working hard on in the industry, and this whole paper is about, you know, how women are shaping the future of the financial industry. The big thing is how we communicate. So the onus is on us as an industry to make it interesting, not just for the smart women, but for all people and all women. And communicate in a way that makes sense and that actually inspires people to
invest. So let's say a young woman has just finished university and she has got her first job and she started making a little bit of money and she wants to be considered a smart financial woman. What would you be your initial advice for her?
I would refer her instantly to my paper from 3 years ago, which is called Getting Started, and it contains in that paper about 50 or 60 quotes from these accomplished women around the world specifically on that topic, and it's an easy read, and you can just go on my site and download it for free. And that's why I did this, because this is interesting stuff. So you can sit down, cuddle up with this paper, and hear these stories of how all of these other women got started. And one of them will resonate with you, and then you pick the one that resonates with you.
That's interesting, because it's very similar, as you said, to what I'm doing. I have a little giveaway. It's nothing as impressive as this, but it's quotes from strong women saying what do they think, you know, what are one or two little tips that they have that will get you through the to the next level or to
exactly.
the next stage?
So, you know, I could tell everybody one or two things based on all my experience, but I'm not necessarily the right mentor or role model for them. And I know from this research that women prefer to learn about money through role models, but it's usually people that they, for some reason, are attracted to. They might have something in common. Mm-hmm. And so it's really nice for them to see all of these people quoted and to look at the quotes and see which one makes sense to them.
And can I ask you, who is your, did you have a role model like that?
So many people ask me that, and the truth is, no, I have never had one role model, but I've always been this incredibly curious person, like you. I ask everybody questions. So throughout my whole career, I've never been shy, and I think sometimes I've been irritating, for sure, but I just want to know what's going on, so I'm never afraid to ask. And so many people have helped me, so I've had multiple role models.
Mm-hmm. And another question, in the financial sector, it's very heavily male dominated. No doubt about it. Like, really, if you work in the financial sector, for sure, you're always, I mean, women are I don't know, like 5% even less, I think.
Well, it's much higher than that, actually. It's
really?
About 20% globally.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
We hide it well.
That's sad. But in Israel, I haven't come across. I mean, really, not only in banking, but in, you know, the tech sector for sure. But what I wanted to ask you was if you have like a tips or something like advice for women when they're in a room that is full of men, and how you would, what do you do to not be, you know, to command the room or to not be intimidated or to, you know, you're soft spoken. You're not, you know, you're not an aggressive looking kind of a person, right? So it's very different to the other people who would be in the same room. How do you, you know, I saw somebody, you know, there's a TED talk about somebody who, you know, we have to put your hands on your hips and you have to like make yourself bigger and be the alpha woman and things like this. And this doesn't look like it's your style. So, so what do you think?
You know, I don't think I've been perfect at that. So I'm not sure I'm the right person to give advice because, you know, just because I do research about women and money doesn't mean I'm brilliant, in the boardroom with all of my male colleagues.
But
I wouldn't
still,
equate
you?
The two. Mm. I think that my success probably hasn't come from being fabulous at office politics or anything like that. But what I would say that's worked for me, at least, is to work with my strengths. And it's been for me, not for anyone else. I've been very deliberate about going after the things that interest me. And I think when you do that, your work will shine through. And some people say you should, you know, talk more about your own accomplishments in public. And yeah, you probably should. But I think when you do great work, everybody has to notice eventually. And, you know, you can't really change your own personality. I think you really need to be true to your own strengths and what you're good at and probably learn from someone other than me about how to tout your own accomplishments.
No, but you're quite successful and you're doing what you want to do, which is really the ultimate success.
Right? For me it is, yeah. But.
So what part? I wanted to ask you, what part of your work do you get the most satisfaction out of?
I think at this moment, you know, that changes day to day, but at this moment, sitting here with you, looking out over the beach in Tel Aviv, I think it is what you said earlier, that all my worlds seem to have come together, and it wasn't planned this way, but here I am. My husband's giving a presentation in Tel Aviv tonight. I gave a presentation in Tel Aviv yesterday. We're able to travel together. I continue to have amazing clients and a great portfolio management job, thanks to the internet. And I also am able to publish great research that's helping the future of the financial industry for women. So sitting here right now, I feel like hard work and passion is paying off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, you know, the way you say it, it makes it very tangible. It makes me feel like it really is possible for anybody. Right. And this is exactly what I want the message to be.
It is. Right. And sometimes it happens even though you didn't even think about it.
Right.
It's funny. Just right. follow your interests. I really have to say that.
Yeah.
Whatever you're really interested in, keep reading. Keep looking at it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so your website is barbarastewart.ca because you're Canadian, right? So I just want people to remember that. So it's Barbara Stewart. This is exactly the way it sounds. .ca. And it's actually, went through it quite a bit, and it's a great website because the articles that you write are at a level that I think that everybody can understand.
I try to write that way, and also the paper that I've been writing for Post Media in Canada, it is for people that are taking the subway to work or whatever, so everybody is doing that, so I try to make it accessible.
Yeah, awesome. So that'll be in the show notes, and I've found you very inspiring and a pleasure to meet.
Thank you. Likewise. Likewise. Keep doing what you're doing, too. You're great at it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Barbara Stewart, for being on the program with me today.
My pleasure. Shalom.
Thank you again to Barbara Stewart for being on the podcast today. It really was an honor to be able to meet her and to be able to talk to her. And I feel very lucky that I get to meet these incredible women and talk to them, get to know them a little bit. Go ahead and read some of Barbara's articles, which you'll find on her site. It's at www.barbarastewart.ca. And don't forget to come over to my website at www.thestrongwomensclub.com. And if you want to learn more about our mastermind program, go to the website at thestrongwomensclub.com/mastermind. I'm actually redoing the website right now, but that page has already been redone, almost all of it. And you can get a lot of information from there. That go even straight to the frequently asked questions section if you like. And I think most of the information that you'll need is there. If you need to know anything else, then just drop me an email at edie@thestrongwomensclub.com or on Facebook, I'll answer you right away. Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Have a really great day and stay strong.